الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mentioning, grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, or the sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah to Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, with the sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih bin Uthaymeen rahmatullahi ala al-jami'. And in fact, in our last session, we had been dealing with the concept of Allah's rising above the throne, and how this is firmly established in the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the righteous predecessors. Then we mentioned the justifications given by the people of denial, who seem to always find a reason to deny one of Allah's attributes, and they gave some statements of theirs. They provided some statements and some poetic verses claiming that the word istawa can mean istawla, to overcome. And they said because of that, then we cannot say Allah rose above His throne. We say Allah like overcame the throne, or conquered the throne. And then they gave some rational justifications, because if we say that Allah is above the throne, meaning He must be encompassed by the throne, then we say that Allah has a body. And they brought a whole bunch of philosophical arguments, and it sounded like it weighed something, but in fact, as you will see in the refutation right now, that it weighs absolutely nothing, nothing at all. And the Shaykh says, وَالرَّدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ وُجُوهِ. Our refutation to them is from a number of angles. أولا تفسيركم هذا مخالف التفسير أو عفوا مخالف لتفسير السلف الذي أجمعوا عليه. First we say that this interpretation of yours is contrary to the interpretation of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, who had agreed about this issue. والدليل على إجماعهم أنه لم ينقل عنهم أنهم قالوا به وخالفوا الظاهر. And the evidence for that, the evidence concerning their consensus regarding this issue, is that it was never narrated to us that they said anything which opposed that apparent meaning of the word or that ayah. ولو كانوا يرون خلاف ظاهره لنقل إلينا. And had they perceived a meaning other than the one which is indicated by the apparent meaning, it would have been narrated to us. فما منهم أحد قال إن استوى بمعنى استولى أبدا. Never did any of them say that استوى means استولى, that rising above means conquering. Never. This was never said by any of them. So this is our evidence. If they say that استوى means استولى, we say the consensus of the Sahaba is against your statement. If they say, how do you claim that the Sahaba agreed? We say, we claim so because they read the ayah, they heard the ayah, and none of them gave another interpretation. So it's not on you to prove, not on us to prove to you that they believe that. It's on you to prove that they believe something other than what was apparent in the verse. You have to bring the evidence. Al-bayyina ala man idda'a. The proof is expected of the one who makes a claim. I'm innocent. Okay? For you to say that I'm a thief, it's upon you to provide an evidence. Otherwise, if we're just going to throw out, accusations against the people, and based on our accusation, the person will be, he will be persecuted, then there will be chaos in the world. Even in the legal world, they say, if you go to court and you have something, say, what is your evidence that such and such person committed such and such crime? So, al-bayyina ala man idda'a. The proof, the evidence, is upon the one who makes that accusation. So you're saying that istawa means tawla? Fine. Now you bring me an evidence from the Sahaba. Can't find it? Meaning didn't believe what you believe. they believe what istawa means in the Arabic language. You see how strong that argument? Beautiful, beautiful argument, beautiful. ثانياً, secondly, أنه مخالف لظاهر اللفظ لأن مادة استوى لأن مادة الاستواء إذا تعدد بعلى فهي بمعنى العلو والاستقرار. We say secondly, it definitely goes against the apparent meaning of the text. The apparent meaning of the text. Because the term istawa, if it is preceded by the preposition ala, then it means being above and settlement. فهذا ظاهر اللفظ. And this is the apparent meaning, definitely. وهذه مواردها في القرآن وفي كلام العرب. And this is how it is narrated in the Quran and in the speech or the language of the Arabs. And we cited, the Shaykh had cited three different ayat from the Quran where the word istawa came preceded by ala, and in every time it meant rising above, whether it was above the ship, like in the case of the dua, or it was Musa, or otherwise, all of them, the context, Nuh Afwan, all of them, the context was what? Rising above, going over something, and it did not mean conquering in any way, shape, or form. But Jamil. ثالثاً, thirdly, this is all refutation. أنه يلزم عليه لوازم باطلة. We say to them, this statement of theirs, if we were to choose that your meaning istawa means overcome, it has some bad consequences. It has some bad, corrupt consequences. Number one, يلزم أن يكون الله عز وجل حين خلق السماوات والأرض ليس مستوليا على عرشه. This necessitates that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, He had not overcome His throne yet. Pay attention. At the time of creating the heavens and the earth, the throne was not under Allah's command. It was not conquered yet. لأن الله يقول, because Allah said in the ayah, خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then He استوى على العرش. So this then indicates sequence in events. If you were to say istawla, istawa means stawla, conquering, overcoming, according to the meaning of the ayah now, that was not under Allah's dominion. Allah had to create the heavens and the earth, then He conquered the throne. Ishhada. This is crazy. وثم تفيد الترتيب. ثم indicates sequence. فيلزم أن يكون العرش قبل تمام خلق السماوات والأرض لغير الله. So then with that understanding, this necessitates that the throne prior to the completion of the creation of the heavens and the earth did not belong to Allah. The throne did not belong to Allah. He had to conquer it afterwards. أعوذ بالله. Secondly, أن الغالب عفوا أن الغالب من كلمة استولى أنها لا تكون إلا بعد مغالبة ولا أحد يغلب الله. Secondly, predominantly the word استولى is only used after a struggle. Overcoming only happens, conquering only happens after a struggle, and no one can defeat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, there's a verse from a poem, and I'm unaware of the second part of it, so I will just deliberately leave it alone. Thirdly, من اللوازم الباطلة أن يصح أن نقول إن الله استوى على الأرض والشجر والجبال لأنه مستول عليها. This is a very good argument. Based on your statement that استوى means استولى, then it is also then necessary from the bad consequences that it is correct for us to say now that Allah has Allah has done istiwa on the earth and the trees and the mountains, because Allah indeed had conquered them, in a sense, يعني, that they belong to Allah, they're under Allah's dominion. So then what makes a throne special? That doesn't make the throne special, because everything is under Allah's dominion. Everything belongs to Allah. So then now we can say Allah did istiwa on the mountains and the trees and so on and so forth. This is unacceptable.
وهذه لوازم باطلة وبطلان اللازم يدل على بطلان الملزوم.
And these are all bad consequences. And the invalidity of that what you make necessary indicates the invalidity of that which you're trying to prove. Because the first is invalid, then the second becomes invalid consequently. طيب.
وأما استدلالهم بالبيت فنقول.
As for their citing the evidence from a bait, what does bait mean? House? Does it mean here house? What does bait mean here? No, bait habibi means a verse from a poetry. Bait ushair, the verses of poetry, they're called bait. Just in case you never came across this. So.
Yeah.
Hey, bait.
Stanza.
Well, I mean, anyways, bait means, this is known, old news. Bait, وَأَمَّا اسْتِدْلَالِهِمْ بِالْبَيْتِ, which is what? About the one who استولى على العراق, استوى على العراق من غير, right here, go back in earlier, من غير سيف أو دم مهراقي. The Shaykh will refute that. وَأَمَّا اسْتِدْلَالِهِمْ بِالْبَيْتِ فَنَقُولْ. As for them citing the poetic verse as an evidence, we say to them, أثبتوا لنا سند هذا البيت وثقة رجاله ولن يجدوا إلى ذلك سبيلا. Now prove to us the chain of narrators in this particular poetic verse along with the soundness of the men who narrated this particular verse. يعني what is he saying? The Shaykh is using the science of hadith. You're saying that this verse is a hujjah, is a proof and evidence. We say to them, show us from where did you get this narration? Who is the one who read or who authored this particular poetic verse? Give us the chain of narrators from that particular individual until our time. Furthermore, prove to us that all of the men who were in between are sound. People who you can take knowledge from. They will never be able to do so. You don't know who wrote this poem or who wrote this verse. This is very important, because this could be written by a Christian. It could be written by a Jew. It could be written by a Quraishi mushrik. So it doesn't mean anything in this field if he's trying to prove that. So the Shaykh said, prove that to us. They will never be able to do so. طيب. Secondly, من هذا القائل؟ أفلا يمكن أن يكون قاله بعد تغير اللسان؟ Who is the speaker of this particular verse? Isn't it possible that he had made that statement after the tongue has changed? What does he mean by that? After the language has changed, the Arabic language has changed. لأن كل قول يستدل به على اللغة العربية بعد تغير اللغة العربية فإنه ليس بدليل. Every statement which is used in the context of the Arabic language after the Arabic language has been changed is not in evidence. Is no longer in evidence. لأن العربية بدأت تتغير حين اتسعت الفتوح ودخل العجم مع العرب فاختلف اللسان. Arabic began to change when the conquests became abundant among the Muslims. They were opening up lands, and the عجم, the non-Arabs, ودخل العجم مع العرب. They mixed with the Arabs. فاختلف اللسان, and so the tongue. The language has changed. I mean, and you're seeing this today. Now there's a new Arabic language, which is a special language that is used between the Arabs and the non-Arabs, right? It's like a fabricated one. Ma'loom, ma fi ma'loom, sadiq, yiji, ruh, anta mukh, ma fi. And it was very weird, statements that you hear every day. But in fact, this is not really Arabic. I mean, this is not the Arabic that we're supposed to speak. Then similarly, you can say about the Lebanese, the Syrian, the Palestinian, the Egyptian. They've murdered the language. We've murdered the language. It's no longer the Arabic language which you're reading in the book. You don't find anyone speaking like this except if it's in a classroom. It's the Arabic teacher. And he's only using this language only and when he's using the book. When he's communicating with the students, he's speaking the local dialect. Right? So the language has changed. So much so that it's almost lost between the, you know, all these variations. وَهَذَا فِيهِ احْتِمَالَ أَنَّهُ إِبَادَ تَغَيُّرِ اللِّسَانِ. So the idea is that this verse may be after that change has taken place in the language. So it's no longer in evidence because the language is no longer pure. The purity of the Arabic language, which was available at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is no longer available in our times. So now people come up with anything, you know, words that don't belong into the Arabic have been added. Cancel. You hear this? Cancel, cancel. It's from canceling, man. This is an English word. Cancel. I don't want. Ma abgha. Cancel. This is not an Arabic word. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You see what I'm saying? So Allah musta'an. So this was the second argument the Shaykh presented. Thirdly, أن تفسيركم استوى بشر على العراق باستولى تفسير تعضده القرينة. This interpretation of yours that Bishr, which is the name of that individual, has done istiwa over Iraq, and you interpret that as stawla, he conquered Iraq. This is an interpretation which is negated by other evidences that are found in the same verse. لأنه من المتعذر أن بشرا يصعد فوق العراق فيستوي كما يستوي على السرير أو على ظهر الدابة فلهذا نلجأ إلى تفسيره باستولى. He says it is impossible that a human being will be able to rise above and then over Iraq, and then he will rise the same way he will rise over a bed, or the way he will rise over the back of a camel or an animal. This is why we have no choice but to interpret it as istawla, because istawa cannot be, it's unreal that he will do istawla. So you're forced to say istawla, because istawa is not applicable, right? For example, or how can I think of an example? You say, for example, I say this English now. I drank the water of the ocean. Okay, now when I say that, you could interpret this in two ways. Either in the process of being in the ocean swimming, I wind up drinking some of the water, or the meaning, the wording may accommodate the meaning that I drank all of the water of the ocean. Because if I say I drank the water of the ocean, it could be that at some time I drank some water, or it could mean that I finished it, right? Now, even though the terminology may entertain both, reality indicates it's impossible for me to consume the whole ocean. So you are forced to understand by me saying this expression that I drank some water while I was at the ocean. And it could not be that I drank the whole ocean, otherwise I would have exploded by now. I wouldn't be sitting here. You see what I'm saying? So this poem that they're using, or this poetic verse, the meaning istawa is not applicable, because it's impossible that he will be above Iraq, right? The same way you will be above your bed or above your camel. So then we have to interpret it as tawla, because the word does not accommodate that meaning. So this is basically blowing them up from the bottom up. Jamil, هذا نقوله من باب التنزل, and we're only saying this for the sake of arguing. فعندنا في هذا جواب آخر, whereas we really have a different answer for you. أن نقول, we say الاستواء في البيت بمعنى العلو لأن العلو نوعان. But we can also say that استواء in this verse. Now look, the Shaykh first, يعني this is beautiful. First, the Shaykh negated that who narrated this verse. Who did it come from? Then he negated them by saying, was it before the language changed or after? Right? Then he went on to say that, okay, this interpretation is not applicable because of the other links which are found in the same verse. And now he's further, now he's assuming that the verse is correct, that it is sound, and they can provide us with the chain of narrators. Now within the verse, he's negating and refuting their false perceptions. He said, الاستواء في البيت بمعنى العلو لأن العلو نوعان. استواء in this verse means transcendency, and transcendency is of two kinds: علوٌ حسي, a perceptible physical transcendency. كاستواءنا على السرير, like when you right now you're sitting on a chair, aren't you above the chair? This is استواء على الكرسي. It's physical. It is perceptible. Yes, you could perceive it, right? Within your perceptions.
Intangible.
tangible, if you want to use tangible, that's fine. وَعُلُوٌ مَعْنَوِي بِمَعْنَى السَّيْطَرَ وَالْغَلَبَ. And the other kind of transcendency, which is abstract, such as meaning domination, having domination and victory, having domination and victory over something. So the word ulu can be both, it can be understood in both ways, physically and in an abstract sense. فيكون معنى استوى بشر على العراق يعني على علوا غلبت وقهر. So then the meaning could be in استوى بشر بشر على العراق, meaning perhaps the meaning is that he in the poetry that he defeated them. His transcendency was that of overcoming and being dominant, not necessarily a physical one, right? Like for example, you say, who's the highest person in this company? And they say the CEO. So do you go find him sitting upstairs in his office, say, okay, you're the highest guy? No, it doesn't mean because he's the highest that there's a physical height. What is intended that he's the highest one in the hierarchy, for example, of the business, he's the, in terms of status, he's the highest one. You use that in English. And you don't necessarily mean that he's physically there. So the word transcendency, being above, I'm above you, could mean that in work I am, I'm your manager and you're my employee. I'm above you. And it doesn't mean that I'm sitting on top of your head. You see the thing? So then the word ulu has both meanings. So even if this was this verse was correct, this poetic verse, we would say him doing istiwa over Iraq, meaning him conquering it and dominating it. And it doesn't mean stawla. It could still mean stawa because it's a form of transcendency, being dominant and being in the state of power and overcoming something. So this is just, you know, beautiful. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ أَنَّهُ يَلْزَمُ مِنْ تَفْسِيرِ الْإِسْتِوَاءِ بِالْعُلُوءِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهَ جِسْمًا. As for his statement that interpreting istiwa as transcendency necessitates that Allah is a body. They're saying that. By you saying that Allah rose above the throne, they're saying to us, you know, the people of denial, to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know, by saying this, they're saying to us, then you are claiming, you are saying that Allah is a body. Allah is a body. B-O-D-Y. فَجَوَابُهُ. Their answer. The answer to them. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَلْزَمُ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَهُوَ حَقٍّ. Everything which the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam necessitate is true. Everything that the Quran and the Sunnah indicate clearly is true. وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَلْتَزِمَ بِهِ. It is compulsory and incumbent on us to adapt to this thing, whatever it is that is necessitated by the Quran and the Sunnah. ولكن الشأن كل شأن أن يكون هذا من لازم كلام الله ورسوله. But the whole matter, the importance of the matter is that which we are proving is actually indicated by the Quran and the Sunnah, not through rationale, not through philosophy. لأنه قد يمنع أن يكون لازما. Because there may be a reason why it is not necessary. فإذا ثبت أنه لازم فليكن. If the Quran and the Sunnah indicate the necessity of such a thing, so let it be. Let it be. ولا حرج علينا إذا كنا به. And there is no sin against us if we say that. Right? This is what the Shaykh said. طيب. ثم نقول. Then we say to them, ماذا تعنون بالجسم الممتنع. The Shaykh said, what do you mean by jism? When you say that Allah is a body, when you are making that claim against us, what do you mean by that? What exactly do you mean by making this particular expression? The Shaykh went on to answer, إِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ بِهِ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ ذَاتْ تَتَّصِفْ بِالصِّفَاتِ اللَّازِمَةِ لَهَا اللَّائِقَ بِهَا فَقَوْلُكُمْ بَاطِلٌ. If you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're saying that Allah is not a being, Allah is not a being of Himself with qualities that are suitable to Him, okay, that are suitable to Him, then the statement of yours is falsehood. Okay, I repeat. If you say that Allah is not a being that has qualities that are suitable to His Majesty, then your statement is false, because we believe that Allah is a being. is a being. There's Allah, meaning what they're calling a body. Now, of course, their sickness is that they are thinking of a human body.
Yeah.
This is where their issue. They're trying to understand in this context, but we don't want to even affirm that jism, because we don't have anything from the Quran and the Sunnah which affirm jism, body. We don't have such a thing, so we keep silent. But we say whatever is necessitated by the Quran and the Sunnah. When Allah says He rose above a throne, Allah will come on the day of judgment, Allah has hands, Allah has face, then this has a meaning. It's not blank. It's not air. So this is what the Shaykh is trying to say. Hey. لأن لله ذاتا حقيقية متصفة بالصفات. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a being of His own subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has qualities befitting His majesty. وأن له وجها ويدا وعينا وقدما. Allah has a face and a hand and an eye and a foot. وقولوا ما شئتم من اللوازم التي هي لازم الحق. And say whatever you want concerning that which the truth necessitates. We don't care. Because Allah told us in the Quran that He has a face. And He told us in the Quran that He has hands. And He told us in the Quran that He has eyes. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the authentic narration, when he described interpreting the ayah in Surah Qaf, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day which we say to Jahannam, are you full? And he will say, is there any more? Allah Azza wa Jal will place His foot in Jahannam until it will be squeezed into its corners, and then he will say, enough. This is from the Sunnah. Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will put His foot in Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. Because, you know, in order to, no more people will enter Jahannam. This will be the ending of that. So, what was the Prophet ﷺ saying? Was he speaking symbolically? Do you think this was metaphorical? If you say so, what's your evidence that it was metaphorical? It was a metaphor. Why did he not say to his companions, I don't mean Allah's foot in reality. What I mean is that, Jahannam will be filled and no one will be able to enter anymore. Did he ever say that? Did the Sahaba say, oh Messenger of Allah, do you mean Allah has a foot? Or did they never asked. So what does that mean? When you hear this expression, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Accepting the apparent meaning of the text. You have no right to reject it when it's revelation from Allah given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's on you to accept it. How do you accept it? How do you understand it? In the light of the revelation from Allah, which is what laysa kamithli shay. There's nothing like Allah. So don't be imagining yourself putting a foot, and don't imagine anyone putting any foot anywhere, because whatever you're imagining is not applicable to Allah. It doesn't fit. Because you are the creation and He is the creator. Qualities of the creation unlike the qualities of the creator. The majesty of Allah is beyond our comprehension. So we believe, but we don't deny. And we don't liken Allah to His creation. This is the beauty of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We don't say, Allah will put His foot like that and then I will go stand in front of you and say like this. We don't say that. This is shirk. Because you're making Allah like His creation. You don't know the manner in which this will happen. Is this clear? And try to instill the aqidah in our minds so we could leave with the correct understanding بإذن الله عز وجل. جميل. Then the Shaykh went on to say, إن أردتم بالجسم الذي قلتم يمتنع أن يكون الله جسما الجسم المركب من العظام واللحم والدم وما أشبه ذلك فهذا ممتنع على الله. If what you are using when you say this must mean that Allah has a body, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made up of bones, flesh and blood, this is something that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not agree with. So when, now, if they mean that we are saying that Allah has a body, and what is intended by this body is flesh and bones, like the creation, then we say, no. We say, this is impossible for Allah. Because when you are describing Allah in this fashion, you are giving Him the qualities of His creation, but He never confirmed them to Himself. He told us He had an eye, but He never made no mention of bones and blood or flesh. So for you to say that a body must mean that, then you are attributing to Allah something which He did not attribute to Himself. And we say this Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah don't agree with. On what basis are you going to say that it's flesh and bones and so on and so forth? You have no right to do so. So this is clear. وَلَيْسَ بِلَازِمِ الْقَوْبِ أَنَّ اسْتِوَى اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ عُلُوهُ عَلَيْهِ. And it is not necessary from the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a body in this particular fashion. This, I guess this ending of this explanation is irrelevant to the beginning of it. على كل حال. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُمْ أَنَّهُ يَلْزَمُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَحْدُودًا. As for their, secondly, if you're saying that Allah is restricted by saying that Allah has a throne, فجوابه أن نقول بالتفصيل ماذا تعنون بالحد. Then we say to them, what exactly do you mean that Allah is restricted by something? What do you mean by that? إن أردتم أن يكون محدودا أن يكون مباينا للخلق منفصلا عنهم كما تكون أرض لزيد وأرض لعمر فهذه محدودة منفصلة عن هذه وهذه منفصلة عن هذه فهذا حق ليس فيه شيء من النقص. If you mean by restricted, that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is separate from His creation, the same way you have a Zayd has a piece of land and Amr has a piece of land, and these two pieces of land are separated from one another, right? They're not the same. Then this is right, and there's nothing, no deficiency in that, which is what we believe, that Allah is separate from His creation, if you mean by restriction like that. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ بِكَوْنِي مَحْدُودًا أَنَّ الْعَرْشَ مُحِيطٌ بِهِ. But if you mean by the statement that Allah is restricted, that the throne encompasses Allah, فَهَذَا باطل, this is falsehood. وَلَيْسَ بِلَازِمْ, and it is not necessary from the text. فإن الله تعالى مستو على العرش. Allah عز وجل is above the throne. وإن كان عز وجل أكبر من العرش ومن غير العرش. Even though Allah is greater and larger than the throne and everything else besides the throne. ولا يلزم أن يكون العرش محيطا به. And there is nothing which necessitates that the throne is encompassing Allah عز وجل. بل لا يمكن أن يكون محيطا به. Nay, but it is impossible that the throne will encompass Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى أعظم من كل شيء وأكبر من كل شيء. Because Allah is greater than everything and bigger than everything. Right? والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة. And the whole earth will be in the hand grip of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. It will be in Allah's grasp and grip on the Day of Judgment. وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينَ. This is from the Quran. And the heavens will be folded with Allah's right hand. This is how tiny they are. The whole heavens will be folded. The earth will be in Allah's grip. So Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. So how can you say that the throne is encompassing Allah, while we know that Allah is greater than the throne and the heavens? Allah is greater than everything. He created everything. So this is their refutation. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُمْ يَلْزَمُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَى الْعَرْشِ. As for their claim that by saying that Allah rose above His throne, this means that Allah must be in need of His throne. فنقول لا يلزم. We say no, this is not necessary. لأن معنى كونه مستويا على العرش أنه فوق العرش لكنه علو خاص وليس معناه أن العرش يقله أبدا أو يقله أبدا أن العرش يقله أبدا. He said, the sheikh said, because the meaning of Allah being above the throne, that He is over above the throne. The meaning of Him being mustawiyan over the throne, meaning He is above the throne, but it is a special kind of transcendency, and it does not mean that the throne is maintaining Allah or carrying Allah in any way, shape, or form. فالعرش لا يقله. The throne does not carry Allah Azza wa Jal. والسماء لا تقله. Neither does the heavens. وهذا اللازم الذي دعيتموه ممتنع. So that which you are making necessary is impossible. لأنه نقص بالنسبة إلى الله عز وجل. Because there is deficiency being attributed to Allah عز وجل. وليس بلازم من الاستواء الحقيقي. And it is not necessitated by the true meaning of rising above. لأننا لسنا نقول إن معنى ثم استوى على العرش أن العرش يقله ويحمله. Because we're not saying that the throne is maintaining Allah and carrying Him. فالعرش محمول. Nay, but the throne is carried. ويحمل عرش ربك فوقهم يومئذ ثمانية. And they will carry the throne of your Lord above them on that day 8, which are the angels. وتحمله الملائكة الآن. Nay, but the angels are carrying the throne of Allah now. لكنه ليس حاملا لله, but the throne is not carrying Allah. عز وجل. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى ليس محتاجا إليه. Allah is in no need of the throne. ولا مفتقنا إليه. Nor is he poor for that throne. Or يعني in need of it. The same meaning actually. وبهذا تبطل حججهم السلبية. With that we negate all of their negative proofs and evidences. There's no room for them to get philosophical. Because simply saying that Allah rose above His throne does not mean that Allah is in need of the throne. It's just that Allah is above the throne. That's what He said in the Quran. Nothing else was mentioned. So for us to necessitate something which He did not teach is falsehood. On what basis are you saying that Allah needs His throne now? This is not the case. And again, يعني, this is just for the sake of arguing with them, because our understanding is clear. If in human context, you rising above your bed means that you are in need of the bed, in the context of Allah, this is not the case. Because there's a huge variation between the creation and the creator. So whatever is applicable to the creation cannot be applicable to the creator. خلاص, it's so simple, man. It's so simple, so basic, so logical. لا إله إلا الله. عليكم السلام. تفضل. عليكم السلام. طيب. وخلاصة ردنا لكلامهم من عدة أوجه. The Sheikh will go on to summarize. Our refutation to them is from a number of ways. الأول أن قولهم هذا مخالف لظاهر النص. Their statement first negates the apparent meaning of the text. ثانيا مخالف إجماع الصحابة وإجماع السلف قاطبة. That it goes against the إجماع, the consensus of the Salaf, which are the righteous predecessors, and the صحابة as well. It goes against them. ثالثا أنه لم يرد في اللغة العربية أن استوى بمعنى استولى. والبيت الذي احتج به على ذلك لا يتم به الاستدلال. That in the Arabic language we have never come across a statement where istawa meant istawla. We never came across such a thing. And that verse, that poetic verse which they used, by that cannot be used as evidence anymore. Because first, we don't know who said it. Secondly, we can even refute it even if it was authentic, as we did earlier. رابعاً أنه يلزم عليه لوازم باطلة. That expression of theirs necessitates some bad consequences. منها أن يكون العرش قبل خلق السماوات والأرض ملكا لغير الله. First, that the throne prior to the creation of the heavens and earth belonged to other than Allah. This is impossible. أن كلمة استولى تعطى في الغالب أن هناك مغالبة بين الله وبين غيره فاستولى عليه وغلبه. That there's usually the word استولى comes after some struggle. And that means that Allah must have struggled with someone other than Him before He was able to overcome and conquer the throne. And this is nonsensical for them to make that particular expression. Because استولى means struggling, overcoming, defeating. This is unacceptable. ثالثا أنه يصح أن نقول على زعمكم أن الله استوى على الأرض والشجر والجبال والإنسان والبعير. Based on your statement, it's okay now to say that Allah is actually above the that Allah Azza wa Jalla has conquered the earth and the mountains and the trees and the human beings and the animals and so on and so forth. لأنه استولى على هذه الأشياء. Because Allah in fact all this belongs to Him. It's His own property.
Yeah, this is stolen.
After the darsin, inshallah, brother. Barakallah feek. نعم. فإذا صح أن نطلق كلمة استولى على شيء صح أن نطلق استوى على ذلك الشيء لأنهما مترادفان على زعمكم. جميل. The Sheikh said, then if it is applicable to use استولى for these things, then we should also be able to use استوى for the same things, because you're claiming that they are synonyms. You see, they're interpreting استوى as استولى. So we say, okay, let us bring the other meanings of stawla, and now we can use the word stawa, because you're saying that they're synonyms. They will not even approve of that. So them trying to claim that these two words are synonymous is in fact an error. And they know that if we were to apply it all across the board, it is not applicable. So rising above in the English, in the Arabic language, istawa does not mean istawla. Does not mean istawla. Even though they were making that claim in order to deny the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is rising above the throne. فَبِهَذِهِ الْأَوْجُهِ يَتَبَيَّنَ أَنَّ تَفْسِيرَهُمْ بَاطِنًا. Through these ways, we can prove to them that their interpretation is false. Now, here's an interesting event in our lives. or in the previous the lives of the previous people. ولما كان أبو المعالي الجويني عفى الله عنه يقرر مذهب الأشاعرة وينكر استواء الله على العرش بل وينكر علو الله بذاته. Now there was a man named Abu al-Mu'ali al-Juwayni. He used to propagate the madhab of Ash'arites, right? Which basically, who would deny Allah's transcendency and Allah's rising above the throne. قال كان الله تعالى ولم يكن شيء غيره. He made this particular expression. He said, there Allah was there and there was nothing else except Allah. Listen to what he's saying. Allah was there and there was nothing else except Allah. وَهُوَ الْآنْ عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah now is the same way He was before. There was Allah and there was nothing else, right? We know that before the creation of the heavens and the earth, before the heavens and the earth, the pen, before the creation of the pen, right? There was nothing. There was Allah and there was nothing. So he's saying Allah used to exist before creating what He created, and He was alone. And Allah today is the same way. Well, is the same way He was before. What is He trying to say? He's indirectly trying to deny the rising above the throne, meaning Allah is in the same condition before the throne was created, because the throne was created as well. Now see how he's trying to twist the meaning. وهو يريد أن ينكر استواء الله على العرش. He's trying to deny Allah's rising above the throne. يعني كان أول عرش, meaning Allah was there and there was no throne. وهو الآن على ما كان عليه, and he is now the same way he was before without a throne. إذا لم يستوي على العرش, meaning Allah did not rise above the throne. فقال له أبو علاء الهمذاني. There was a man, one of his students, his name is أبو العلاء الهمذاني. قال يا أستاذ, oh teacher, دعنا من ذكر العرش والاستواء على العرش. Leave alone this discussion of the throne and rising above the throne. يعني لأن دليله سمعي, because it is a textual evidence. It's a textual evidence. ولولا أن الله أخبرنا به ما علمنا. Had Allah not informed us about this, we would have never known. Right? This was revealed by Allah. If Allah did not tell us about this, we would have never known. وعليكم السلام. Then he told him, أخبرنا عن هذه الضرورة التي نجد في نفوسنا. He said to him, explain to us this instinctive need that we find within ourselves. ما قال عارف قط. No person who knew Allah ever said, يا الله, O Allah, إلا وجد في قلبه ضرورة يطلب العلو. Except he finds within himself the need to look above. No one who ever knew Allah, except that when he wanted to call on Allah, you find that natural disposition, that instinctive reality, that you want to look above. Ya Allah, help. I mean, this is, you look around, you watch videos, people at the time of disasters, they just raise their hands to the sky. I mean, naturally, people who didn't read. Even if that same person, if you were to ask him, you know, where's Allah? He would tell you Allah's everywhere. But during his actions negate his belief, because Allah by nature made the human beings get this particular feeling. Subhanallah, this is something that... So, فَبُهِتَ أَبُو الْمَعَالِي. Abu al-Ma'ali was amazed. He was astonished. He was refuted so strongly. فَجَعَلَ يَضْرِبُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. And he started beating his head. حَيَّرَنِي الْهَمَذَانِ. He was saying, الْهَمَذَانِ has confused me. الْهَمَذَانِ has confused me. وَذَلِكَ لِنَّ هَذَا دَلِيلٌ فِطْرِي مَا أَحَدْ يُنْكِرُهُ. Because this is a natural disposition based evidence that no one can deny. Even the Christians believe that their God is above. The Jews believe that God is above. Fir'aun believed that God was above. Fir'aun. In the Quran. قَالَ يَا هَمَانْ إِبْنِي لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ أسباب السماوات فأطلع إلى إله موسى. O Haman, build for me a tower, a construction, so I may rise within the heavens. Why? He said, so I may look at Moses' God. Meaning Musa must have taught him that Allah is above. Otherwise, why would Fir'aun want to go up? He would have looked around him. Fir'aun had the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, even though he's among the biggest kuffar in the world. And some of the Muslims today don't have the belief system of the Anbiya and the Prophets, and even the enemies of the Prophets who agreed about this particular issue. You see? So this is common. The Christians, I remember in some other country, they had in the kitchen where the coffee, we go make coffee, they had, after the September 11 events, right, they had a picture of the Twin Towers, right, burning up, and a picture of Jesus, right, from above, from the heavens, you know, accepting all the, you know, the dead and the martyrs. And I remember we were studying this very topic during that time. And I read, I said, subhanAllah, you know, that even the Christians, you know, hold the same belief. Jesus is above, you know, trying to take the martyrs supposedly that have died in this event. And, you know, Muslims today deny that Allah Azza wa Jalla is above His creation. And they come with all kinds of Greek philosophy to deny this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we, alhamdulillah, believe in firmly. So that does with that, right? Al-Mawdi'u Thani. Now, this was all, excuse me, breaking down the first verse, which was used here to prove the evidence that Allah Azza wa Jal is above His throne. This was the first ayah. We said there are how many times was it mentioned in the Quran? Allah rising above the throne. How many times?
Seven
times. Seven times the words "stawa ala al-arsh" were mentioned in the Quran. We dealt with one, the one in Surah Al-A'raf, right? Surah Al-A'raf. What were the verses, Ya Akhwan? Verses 11 and 12. And the next ayah is the one in Surah Yunus, verse 3. في سورة يونس قال الله تعالى إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. Verily your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Which was the first day?
Mean by day? Sunday.
Last day?
Friday.
Good man. First day was Sunday. Last day was Friday. And we did the calculation. We counted them. They turned out to be six. Okay. Did Allah rest after He created the heavens and the earth? Did He rest? He rested? Whoa.
According to the Christian belief.
According to the Christians, Allah, you know, in Genesis, you know, He said that God created the heavens and the earth. Then He rested from that event. We believe, as Allah taught us in the Quran, خلق السماء نعم وما مسه وما مسنا من لغوب. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and no fatigue touched us. When we say that Allah He rested, then we are making Allah like His creation. And Allah is Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, Al-Mateen, His qualities of power, might. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is in no need of rest. Right? So Allah negated that Judeo-Christian belief that God must rest it on the seventh day. That's why they don't go work on Sabbath, right? And the Quran denied that. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not rest because there's no need for Allah to rest. Everything is easy to Allah. Kun fayakun, be and it is. Alhamdulillah. So the second ayah was Surah Yunus. Then inshallah we will deal with the third, fourth, fifth, it's all seven ayat in our next session. With this we conclude this dars. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.